The Crossman Conversation brought to you today by Community Legal Services, Maynard Cooper, Frontier Partners, First Horizon Bank, Florida Blue, and R-Squared Solutions.
The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
The Crossman Conversation is hosted by John Crossman. John's heart is to see our community of leaders unite around what we have in common. John will be joined by political leaders, religious leaders, as well as activists making a difference in our nation. Here is your host for the Crossman Conversation, John Crossman.
Hello, this is John Crossman, and welcome to the Crossman Conversation. Before we get started, Mike, I got to tell you this quick story.
Amen.
Okay? It's a real quick story.
Can't wait to hear it.
All right. So I love history. I'm a history guy.
Sure.
I love the state of Florida. Been here my whole life. I'm born in Fort Lauderdale. I'm 51 years old, the whole thing. But Florida guy, I loved all of the state. And I love great speeches. That's a thing of mine. I always enjoy hearing great speakers. And so I was in a place one time, and I heard this guy speak, and he gave a speech on the history of Florida. And it was so good. It blew my mind. He was like the best ever. And then like a couple years later, I heard him again speak at an event actually down in Palm Beach, and he gave a speech about history of Florida. He had written a book about it, and it blew my mind. It was the best speech, best synopsis of all the wonderful things that's happened in our state. That guy, he's our guest.
Oh my goodness.
That writer, that author, former U.S. Senator George Lemieux. Senator Lemieux, are you on the phone with us?
I am, John. How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing so great. So thank you. First off, I mean, you did great things in the state legislature, and then you did things. You were U.S. Senator. And then you've written books and given speeches. I really don't know that there's a better commercial for the state of Florida than you, sir. So thanks you for all you've done.
Well, you're kind, and thanks for all that you've done. I've been an admirer of yours and friend, and what you're doing with our historically black colleges and universities and promoting those ladders up for people in our community is something I really respect. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. And so with that, let's just go in and talk about this. Can we talk a minute about Mary McLeod Bethune? I was in the U.S. Capitol when they had the statue unveiling, and talking about all the work she's done. When you've done all your research about all these different people influencing our state, what are your thoughts about Mary McLeod Bethune?
So you mentioned, John, that wrote a book about Florida, and I did that along with Laura Mize, who's a great writer, and she and I now have collaborated on two books. And the first we did was Florida Made, and we talked about the 25 most important figures in the history of Florida. And the reason why I wrote the book was because I had traveled all around Florida. I'm a Florida native like you, and I really didn't understand the history of Florida. And I would wonder things like, you know, why did this part of the state develop? Why did the space program come to Florida? Why do we have so many military bases? You know, who made this all happen and who were the figures that shaped our state? And in doing that research, it took Laura and I 2 years to write the book. We stumbled upon this great fact about Florida, which is that Florida, although it had its significant problems, Florida did better in the civil rights era in bringing about desegregation than other states in the Deep South. And we wanted to know why that was. And one of the figures that we knew about, but we really didn't know what an amazing role she had, was Mary Bethune and the work that she did primarily around Daytona, but really statewide and countrywide, that ushered in a better era for blacks, especially black kids in this state. So I was thrilled to see that we replaced a Confederate admiral statue in the Capitol. You know, every state sends two statues to the U.S. Capitol to commemorate a great member of their state. We had a Confederate admiral, which is amazing to me that all these years we would still have that after the after what we've went through as a country, and we replaced it with Mary Bethune, who's a great leader and a great representative of our state.
Well, yeah, it's so cool you'd say that. And what's funny about that is, like, man, she was doing stuff like 40 years before the Civil Rights Movement. You know, people don't understand that. Like, probably way before her time, she was doing amazing stuff. And, you know, on top of that, you're going to like this. When I went to the Capitol building and attended a bunch of stuff there, I got to meet Franklin and Delano Roosevelt's granddaughter, who was there as part of the Roosevelt family, because they had a long history there with her family. And that was just so cool, like meeting a sort of a part of U.S. history was very cool.
That's an amazing story.
Isn't that fun? Isn't that fun? So tell me this, you know, with all the history you've done, so we talked about Mary McLeod through. Now you tell me, like, if somebody just said to you, tell me another person in the state of lore history that you love to talk about, what's one or two of those that you like to talk about?
Well, there's a lot of folks. I mean, there's the obvious people that we talk in our book, like a Henry Flagler and a Walt Disney and what they did for Florida. But there are people that are less well known. I like to talk about someone I know, a company that's very close to you is George Jenkins.
Yeah.
And what he did to build Publix, which is an amazing business that is the largest employee-owned business in the country, maybe in the world. And what that's done for so many Floridians, hundreds of thousands of people have worked for Publix in Florida and changed the state. And, you know, everybody's from Florida. If they leave the state and they're not in a state that Publix is in now, always longs for that company. And there's a great history about, you know, George Jenkins and how he worked for Piggly Wiggly and was denied an opportunity to meet the CEO and decided he'd come back and start his own business and put the Piggly Wiggly out of business and grew that into the modern American supermarket chain that we now all here enjoy in the state of Florida. So he's someone I like to talk about. I also, there's a great story about Key West, Florida. Key West, during the Great Depression, had an extremely difficult time. And there was an effort to shut Key West down. They were going to forcibly evacuate all the residents and move them to Tampa. And the governor of Florida realized that wasn't a great idea and did something that doesn't usually work. He called the federal government and asked for help, and the federal government actually sent somebody who did help. They sent a guy named Julius Stone, who was a federal government employee who came down and said, no, we're not going to forcibly evacuate everyone from Key West. What we're going to do is we're going to turn this into an arts center. They had garbage piled up for years. They had no way to get rid of it. He paid basically put everybody in the town on the payroll. They got rid of the garbage. They did it in a way you could not do in 2022. They threw it in the ocean, but it achieved the goal. And he had them paint the cottages colorful colors and have artists start doing renderings of Key West and put them on postcards and send them around the world. Encourage other artists to come and be resident in Key West. And in a couple of years, he had turned it around. The city was doing well, even in the midst of the Great Depression. So there are a lot of great stories in this state and in our history that we covered in Florida Made that profile these people who made the state happen.
You know, Senator Mealy, I wish you could teach a history class to every single student in our state, because the way you tell the stories is so awesome and so inspiring. And it's every time I hear you speak, I learn something. I did want to mention this real quick. You're I'm sure familiar with the TV show The Office, and it's sort of spoof on, you know, modern day office environment. There's another show you can watch on Netflix, or maybe it's Hulu, and it's called Superstore, and it's the exact same plot of The Office, but it takes place in effectively a Walmart. And so one of my daughters started watching that show, and she really liked it. It was a similar format, and I told her, I said, this show would never work if it was Publix. And she said, why is that? I'm like, because every complaint they have, Publix is taken care of. It's an ESOP. And so to your point, when you're dealing with a elderly cashier, they may have worked there for 40 years. They may be a millionaire, right? Because they're participating in it. And so you think about the secret sauce of Publix is like the fact that they take such good care of their employees, and their employees own the company. And there you go.
Right.
That's a very unique thing that a lot of people don't get. It's good stuff.
When, you know, there's a cleanup in aisle 7, it's a little different whether you're an employee or you own the place.
That's right.
Right? And when a customer's got a question, I mean, you've been to Publix a million times, so have I. You want to find something on the shelf, they walk you over and help you find it. I mean, it's just a different ethos.
Listen, when my daughters were like 4 and 5 and I was taking them out to do something fun, I called my wife and I said, what do I do if they need the bathroom? She said, go to Publix. And I said, go to Publix. Publix has bathrooms. And she's like, John, the Publix bathrooms are the safest, cleanest public bathrooms you're ever going to find. And that changed my life. I'm like, oh my gosh, if I need a restroom, I just go to Publix. Like, and
the good news in Florida, there's a Publix every couple miles.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, I heard Mayor Dyer from the city of Orlando say that 1,500 residents move to Central Florida every single week. And so my response to that is we need a new Publix in Central Florida every 8 weeks, right? Like, that's a math. That's amazing.
There you go.
Yeah. So, Senator Lee, I want to take a quick break. But when we come back, I want to talk to a little bit more with you about leadership and community, and how do we what do we do to kind of make the promote the next Mary McLeod Bethune or next George Jenkins? What do we do to help create some more leaders in our community? And what are your thoughts on that? So if you can stick around, we'll take a quick break and we'll come back. Is that all right?
Sounds great.
All right.
Yes, sir.
All right, quick break.
A lifetime of hard work. Children laughing in the kitchen. Family photos on a restaurant wall. A legacy that lives on. It all comes from the power of a conversation. Like the one Tommy Hall had with First Horizon Bank about taking over his father's Charleston-based restaurant business. Now the table is set for a whole new generation. First Horizon Bank. Let's find a way. Go to firsthorizon.com/Tommy. First Horizon Bank, member FDIC.
I'd like to thank Maynard Cooper and Gale, PC, for being a sponsor of our program. Maynard is a full-service law firm with over 350 attorneys and 14 offices nationally who serve with professional excellence in everything from corporate and business matters to day-to-day legal issues. The office in Central Florida focuses its practice in real estate, corporate transactions and organization, banking and finance, along with trust and estates. To learn more, visit MaynardCooper.com.
Community Legal Services is a civil legal aid organization providing no-cost legal help to the underserved. They call it Legal Aid for All. Their attorneys assist with legal issues related to family law, housing, domestic violence, veterans benefits, and much more. Community Legal Services is a community-supported program. To learn more and help support the mission, visit clsmf.org. That's clsmf.org. Community Legal Services, Legal Aid for All.
Managing a team that has a lack of accountability and effective communication can be frustrating. Bill Roto-Rooter can help you build a cohesive team and a collaborative work environment. As a retired commander of the Navy's premier training system and research development organization, Roto has the experience to help you build trust and a high-performing team as you navigate high-pressure situations. To schedule a complimentary call with Roto, go to rotospeaks.com and complete the form and put the Crossman Conversation in the message field.
Are you willing to serve communities in crisis around the world? To people who are impoverished, oppressed, and persecuted? Frontier Partners International offers mission opportunities in areas least served to meet the needs of the helpless, the hapless, and hopeless. To learn how you can be a partner of this frontline ministry with your time, talent, or treasure, visit frontier-partners.org. That's frontier-partners.org.
Once again, here is John Crossman.
And we're back. Senator Lemieux, you've talked about your book, Florida Made, and you talk about all these great leaders. Talk to me about what do you think we need to do as a community to help develop future leaders that we find the next great Mary McLeod Bethune, the next great George Jenkins, and what do we need to do as a community to develop those leaders to impact our state in the future?
Well, it's a great question, John. I think we have great leaders now. I look around the state and I see a lot of emerging leaders. I think that we as a state and we as the communities within the state need to cultivate that leadership in our kids, right? That so that they understand that to whom much is given, much is expected. When I speak to young people, I always tell them, you know, they've won the birth lottery. They could have been born any place in the world, be one of more than 7 billion people. And most places they would have been born into, they would have, you know, been born into abject poverty. Here, if your mom and dad make $50,000, $60,000 a year and you're sort of in the average for Florida families, that may not seem like a lot of money, but it makes you in the top 1% of wage earners in the world. So we are very blessed. We're in the best country in the history of the world, and we're in the best state in the best country. And we need to understand that we've been really given a lot just by the benefit of being in Florida and being in the United States. And I think if we imbue into our kids that sense of gratitude, then we can ask them to lead and to give back, to be servants, leaders, to do for their community in whatever way they decide. If they want to join the military or be a social worker or be a police officer, a firefighter, a first responder, a teacher, whatever it is that they do. And if it's something that's not a profession that's specifically focused on service, are they then spending their volunteer time giving back, you know, through their church, their synagogue, whatever organization they're involved in to help the community. I think if we could cultivate that as a state, as our local communities here within the state, it's going to just make this an even better place to live.
So tell me this, if a really rising star, let's just say 31 years old, came and saw you and said, Senator Lemieux, I've gone to college, I have a job, I'm doing stuff, I want to make an impact in the state of Florida. And they're already like, they've done a lot of the core good stuff. What would your advice be? Do you have anything specific like, gosh, they should get involved in this group or that group? Is there anything else that comes to mind, advice you would give a rising star in our state to invest in?
I have conversations a lot with people, and I try, like this, young people who want to give back. And so then I ask a lot of qualifying questions, or like, you know, where are your passions? What are you interested in? And, you know, there are great organizations like Leadership Florida, for example, which is a great way to learn about our state, to learn about our history, learn with other people from around the state to build your network. They do a very good job of taking you all around the state so that, you know, most of us are in our little corner of Florida. We don't understand what a great place this is. So whether it really depends on what profession you're in or what you're wanting to do, but I try to give advice to people. The Leadership Florida is one great organization that young leaders can get involved in and really make some good connections and learn a lot of leadership lessons.
So, Senator Lemieux, you've done a lot to help a lot of people, a lot of cool stuff. What could I do, or what could others do to help you and be supportive of what you're doing today to help people? How can we be supportive of your efforts?
Well, that's kind, you know, John. I'm do a lot of things besides my work at the Gunster Law Firm. I'm a big supporter of debate in our schools. I'm one of the co-founders of what's called the Broward Debate Initiative here in Broward County. We've got more kids debating in Broward County than any place in the country now. Every elementary school offers debate, every middle school, every high school. And what we find with debate is that if you're involved in debate, it doesn't matter what your socioeconomic background is. It doesn't matter what your race or religion is. If you stick with it, if you go to debate tournaments, 97% of those kids graduate from high school and 95% go to college.
Wow.
There's really nothing like it. It's competitive academics, and the kids want to learn because they want to do better. So they start to self-teach, and there's this rippling effect that then happens in all of their classes as they learn critical thinking skills. And there are other competitive academics like chess and brain bowl and these clubs where you build a robot to fight another robot. Whatever it is, you're actually, the kids don't even know they're learning because they are competing and having fun. So I think that's a great initiative. I'm working with the state to try to bring debate really to that level all across the state. I'm also, you know, focused on Palm Beach Atlantic University, which I know you know, with a child there. I have a public policy center there. We're celebrating our 10th year this year. And I'm trying to promote conversations of consequence in the community. You know, Florida doesn't have as much of this as other advanced states around the country, where people who are thoughtful can come in a way that's respectful of all people's opinions and talk about the big issues of the day, local, state, national, international, and have those thoughtful, high-end discussions. So I want Florida to be a place that's a place where people can express their ideas. They can do so respectfully. We can be solving the problems that and challenges that are facing our state and our country, and also, you know, pursuing the opportunities that we have. And I think if we could all, you know, try to push towards those efforts, it'll make Florida an even better place to live.
That's awesome. Well, a couple of quick things, comments back. First off, regarding my daughter at PBA, and she does love it, but I got to tell you, she came up with a rule that I've agreed with. And that is, you know, I lecture at a lot of universities. I'm not allowed to lecture at PBA until she graduates.
I like that.
No, it's funny. And I mean, she and I are very close, but she said, she's like, Dad, this is my university, not university. So let me have my space. She doesn't want to be, you know, but here's the thing. You could lecture there. So when you do, make sure you give her a shout out to her. I just appreciate that.
I will.
But she is a big fan, and I'm just so grateful for what you're doing there. It's an awesome university. And then I just want to say this about debate as an encouragement to you and what you're doing and how much I endorse it. I didn't learn until my 40s that I'm dyslexic. And I will tell you that when I was 16 years old and a junior at Forest Hill High School in West Palm Beach, I took speech class. And that speech teacher really saw something in me, and in a way that it's just a magical thing, a miracle when somebody sees something you don't see yourself. He put me in debate, and I did a competitive debate my senior year of high school, and it changed my life. It fundamentally changed my life. And I always stayed in touch with that high school teacher. Actually, my book is dedicated to him. And would you believe that he passed away about 2 years ago during COVID? And last year, his widow asked me to give his eulogy. And I drove down to South Florida, and I gave a eulogy using the debate skills that he taught me at his funeral.
What a great testament to his leadership and impact on your life and the life of others.
Well, and so I just want to say I totally endorse what you're doing in debate. It, like I said, for a kid like me, it was helpful. One real quick thing, because we're going to wrap up in just a minute, but my dad, pastor and civil rights leader, Sun Sentinel, back in 1970, referred to him as the bridge builder for all the work he'd done in the civil rights movement. And best five or six years ago, then Governor Rick Scott was so kind to name an actual bridge after my dad, the Reverend Ken C. Crossman Bridge, and symbolizing the work that he did. And we had bipartisan support. It was really awesome. But, you know, just for clarity's sake, it would not have happened without the lobbying firm of Gunster. Derek Bruce and your team really were the ones that were instrumental in making that happen. So that was a vision from another guy that then he brought it to me, and then you guys stepped in. So thank you for what you did there to help honor my dad and his legacy. And I'm just,
well, it was our honor. Your dad was a great leader, just like you are. And it was just a small way to remember the great contributions your dad had in the state of bringing people together.
Well, it's very kind, and you guys are doing good work. And just so real quick on Gunster, how's the law firm doing?
Well, thank you for asking, John. We're doing great. We just recently announced a merger with a very fine firm in Tampa, the Barnett Bolt firm. We now have 50 lawyers in Tampa, more than 250 lawyers across the state. We're a Florida-only firm. Our focus is on this state exclusively, and very blessed to have great lawyers. We'll be celebrating our 100th year coming up here in 2025. So the firm's doing great, and I'm very blessed to be at this firm with all these great folks who are out there not only helping our clients, but helping our community. That's a big part of what we do at Gunster, is to really get involved in our communities, to lift our communities up, because we know that's good business, and it's just good for the overall goal of trying to make Florida the best place to live.
It's meaningful work. It's meaningful work. If somebody were to call you from a different state, and where they were geographically, their state was having some issues, and they just said, hey, you've done so much for Florida, what advice for you have some in another state of what they need to do in their community? What would you tell them to do?
Well, we have great fundamentals here. You know, this is a beautiful place, first and foremost. People come here because of the weather. They come here because of the beaches. They come here because of the amenities. It's an amazing place to live. But then we also have a really good regulatory and governmental climate. You know, we have no state income tax. We are not a union state. So those things really help. The government is business friendly. It's a great place. We saw during the pandemic how well we did compared to other states that shut down, kept kids out of school, locked down businesses. So those fundamentals matter. And if you get the fundamentals right, a lot of other good things can happen. And what Florida has really done in the last 20 or 30 years is improve several things that we needed to improve to make this a world-class state. First, because of Governor Jeb Bush, we increased and made better our education system in the K-12 level. We were at the bottom, and now we are close to the top, which is amazing and really means a lot. And that helped us transform our university system. And Governor Rick Scott and Governor DeSantis get a lot of credit, along with the Board of Governors. We now have the number one public state university system in the country, not California, not Texas, the state of Florida. That's been a big something we needed to do in order to attract businesses and attract talent. So that's been a big innovation. And then bringing, you know, knowledge-based companies to Florida so that we weren't just hotels and real estate development, but that we had, you know, high-end knowledge-based jobs that pay well, whether it's in the financial sector, whether it's, you know, everything that's around the space program, whether it's the businesses that are around the military bases in this state. There's lots of examples now where we are not just, you know, a two-trick pony of tourism and real estate. So, you know, it's taken a long time for Florida to get where it is. We've always been talking about what Florida could be. In the last couple of years, Florida became. We now are that world-class state for not only to raise a family, but to build a business. And that's a big transformation. So if I were talking to people from out of state, it's you got to get your fundamentals right. And if you get your fundamentals right, you can be a successful state. I mean, we are in the United States of America. We do have capitalism. We do have all of our guaranteed civil rights that are ensconced in our Bill of Rights. We do have the rule of law. We have all those things that make us special. If you can get your state fundamentals right, your state fundamentals right, then your state can succeed as well.
Well, Senator Lemieux, I want you to know that if I was writing a book of top 25 people who have really helped impact my life, you'd be in there, brother. And I'm so
grateful, John.
truly, what you're doing with speech for dyslexic kids like me, what you're doing for PBA, and what you're doing to promote our state. It's making a better place to live for everybody. So thank you for all you continue to do. And thank you for being a guest on the Crossman Conversation.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for having me. And I look forward to seeing you soon.
All right. Well, thanks so much. Thanks to our guest. And as always, support your local HBCU.
This has been Crossman Conversation, produced by a Crossman Career Builders Mark Radio Production.